We'll be looking at just one verse today, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding. Give honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. There used to be a game show on TV called The Newlywed Game, where two newlyweds, a husband and wife, would reveal how much they know about each other by the asking of certain questions. And usually the husband would embarrass himself, I think. No, that wasn't always the case. I thought about asking all of the men of their congregation to close their eyes and, without looking, to tell either your wife or your mothers the color of their eyes, as just an illustration of living with understanding of the wife or the mother that God has given to you. I won't do that. I won't put you on the spot. Fathers, you can ask your sons later if they can tell the color of their mom's eyes. It goes to show something of an attentiveness to the people that are dear to us. And it's a fun way to introduce a passage that says that the task of husbands is to live with their wives with understanding. And it's a very important aspect of the relationship between husbands and wives, and it follows on the heels of the duties of the wives to their husbands. And it falls in 1 Peter as a continued application of chapter 2, verses 11 through 13, where Peter talks about godly behavior, how it is that we are to live as Christians in a non-Christian world, and how that behavior is then a testimony to a watching world, so that they can see by our relationship to government, to others in authority, and within a family relationship, that godly conduct then is a testimony that we are the people of God. Before I go into more detail as to the duties of the husband, let me reiterate what I said last week in talking about the role of the Christian wife, and that is to reiterate the aspect of the essential equality between men and women in God's creation. In fact, it does indeed go back to the Garden of Eden and to creation itself, where we see that God created mankind generic after his own image, and that male and female are both equally in the image of God. Christ honored both male and female, and honored the institution of marriage. And Paul spells it out very bluntly in Galatians 3, 28, where he says that there is neither male or female, as well as some other distinctions, neither male or female in Christ, that we are all saved by Christ. Peter says here that as an indication of that our wives are heirs together of the grace of life, heirs together of the grace of life, and that inheritance is another indication of our essential equality, the joint inheritance that we have of the grace of life. To put it another way, I've said it this way before, is that men and women don't have two different ways of salvation, that men are saved by Christ and that women are saved through their husbands somehow. Or by their families. Women are saved by Christ as well. So I just wanted to reiterate that today in speaking to husbands. That's important because one of the tendencies or one of the temptations for men is to lord it over their wives, to exercise an authority which is an undue authority or a misunderstanding of the role of headship or the role of leadership that God has given to husbands. The way it goes is that, or the way the misapplication goes, is that the right teaching of leadership is taken from Scripture, and we do confirm that God has given a headship to husbands and to fathers to lead their households. And then that is made out to be a totalitarian type of regime that says, I rule, so there. And uses that God-given authority in a way that is offensive. And we would turn to the Ten Commandments themselves and see that there are sins of superiors against their inferiors. And there can be an abuse of power that takes place. So when we start off thinking of some of the duties of husbands, I would illustrate, or I would set up maybe a negative example, and speak to that a little bit as we think about the positive. And that negative is the abuse of power. We add one other thing there, and that is that the teaching of a wife's submission is also quickly pointed out in that without any responsibility for self. So let's go ahead and think of the positive. Peter says that there is respect due to the wife. And the first way to show that respect is to understand, to live with your wife with understanding. And this is it's a fairly short statement, but it says quite a bit. If I were to compare it, I'd make a comparison to gardening, which is sometimes called husbandry, which I think is an appropriate word for us, and it will be a helpful example. Now, in Oklahoma, if you wanted to be a farmer, you would do some studying of what is an effective means of gardening here in Oklahoma. We just went to family camp up in Iowa, and do you remember anyone who went up to Iowa? What did you see in the fields of Iowa? What was planted there? Danny?
Corn,
as far as the eye can see. Yeah, you drive along the highways and it's like you're in a sea of corn. And it's just corn, corn, corn everywhere. Yeah, and they did do some soybean farming, and they're huge, yeah, huge fields of soybean. What do you see in the fields of Oklahoma?
Cows.
Yeah, cows. And if there's anything planted, what do you see planted for the most part?
Wheat
and milo or sorghum. Yeah, and you know why that is? Yeah, you need lots of rain. You need a lot of moisture to grow corn. And Iowa has it. And it's a great crop for Iowa. And they study that out. The farmers know what to do. Sometimes sit down with one of the farmers in Iowa, and Jim Pilling especially is fascinating because he is a high-tech farmer. And they have GPS satellite farming equipment on their combines so that as they fertilize, as they harvest, the yields, everything is tracked on a GPS system so that they can plot everything that's going on. and they manage their farming down to in this large field down to square yards or some small segment, not just this acre. In fact, they were able to prove to an oil or gas company that buried a pipeline that as they did this, they could show the plots of their yields. The pipeline ran right through their field, and their yields were less in that area because they so carefully knew what they were doing that they could go to them and say, "Our yields are down by this much," and they got compensation from that company because they knew so well what they were doing. Do you, as husbands, know your wives that well? In my seminary training, I remember very well one of the illustrations from an actual counseling case that in one of my counseling classes where a husband and wife had broken apart, and the husband just couldn't understand what was going on. He was saying, I just don't get it. I work 60 hours a week to provide my wife with this nice home and this nice car and this nice boat, and I give, she doesn't want for anything at all. I work so hard to give her whatever she wants. And her response was, "But I just wanted you." And that is sometimes the area that we miss as husbands is the aspect of the intimacy that our wives want is not something that is as the lovey-dovey type of intimacy, but the togetherness type of intimacy that goes on day by day. And is developed and nurtured over a long haul and over the course of weeks and years. And by intimacy, I do want to remind you of that the intimacy that our wives are especially interested in is that they want a relationship with you as. They want to know that you are a part of their life and that they are a part of your life. And knowing them and nurturing who she is, her gifts, her weaknesses, her temptations, knowing and strengthening her in each of those are very important. And by the way, wives, it's okay to tell your husbands these things. And going back to the Matthew chapter 7 model there is, and to the words that have gone before, submission doesn't mean silence. There's a need for husbands sometimes to have the gentle reminder of what it is that you're longing for, and we as husbands are glad for those clues, and we'll pay attention to them, and we'll enjoy practicing the husbandry that God has given to us, especially as those. The fruits are born from that. Peter says to give honor as to a weaker vessel. And I appreciated what the New Geneva Study Bible says here. It says it refers probably to the general character, physical character of women in this life is that physically the husband is generally stronger than his wife. And it's not referring to any moral or spiritual or mental ability of the wife as being lesser. And they also point out that the discrepancy provides one reason for special consideration. This is one aspect of the relationship that we as husbands need to understand, is that we may not think that anyone would ever be scared of us, or we may think everybody's scared of us one way or the other, depending on your own self picture there. Let not your wife be one of them, then. Let not your wife be one of those that's scared of you. As one who is a weaker vessel, make sure that she, above all, knows that that she has nothing to be afraid of. We have, as a calling on us, and gleaning from the broader scripture, we have the calling of protection and providing. And we have the greatest example of all given to us, the example of Christ and the church. And the example is that of our Redeemer laying down his life for the bride. He lays his life down for the bride. And that's the type of love that we show, and the type of honor that a husband shows his wife. Let me also comment here that I've put it here in my notes that there is not a public-private dichotomy. And by that I mean that when we have conflict on the horizontal, that it affects and it reflects the conflict that we have with the vertical. And so in public, we may reflect conflict with our wives, or we may show conflict with our wives. And Peter very pointedly says that if that's the case, or that you iron that out, lest your prayers be hindered. Or he's talking about, just to get it in the right language here, he says to dwell with your wives in this way, that your prayers may not be hindered. And what he's talking about is the discord that is part of our husband and wife relationship is, I think, both reflective and affective of our relationship with God. By reflective, I mean that when I'm not right with God, I suffer and my family suffers because I take it out on them. I'm ashamed to say that, but that's just the way it is. It's reflective of where I am. And if there's discord in my family, there's probably a good indication of discord in my own life with my God. It's effective as well, because it's a vicious cycle. When I'm not right with my family, my personal piety is weak as well. And so there's a prayerlessness. And I'm prone to temptation. And the vicious cycle continues. The reflection and affection just keeps on going in that fashion. So, as I said, I put it in the aspect of public and private. It's not something we can separate one from the other. The way we are with our wives, the one that in this life is closest to us, is illustrative of the way we are with the one we're most intimate with, and that is our God. And they're packaged together. And if you want to address some of the issues that you have with your wife, then there's a starting point with God that is very important. And if you're concerned about your relationship with your Lord, then you might consider your relationship with your wife and see if your prayers are hindered because you're carrying sin and grudges or sinning against your wife. As I did last week, let me turn and address the young men of the congregation. Last week I started with the young ladies because the subject was a wife and her godly role in a family. And now I'm going to talk to the boys, to the young men. And the broad category that is given here is to prepare to be this type of godly men, this type of godly man, to be a man who honors your wife. And there are three ways that I'll give you to practically start to put that into practice. First of all, honor your mother. Honor your mother. Do you know what that means? When your mom sets a task, a chore for you to do, you don't talk back. And when she gives you your schoolwork to do, you go and you do it without being told a second time. And when they discipline you, you tell them that you love her. And you nurture that love day in and day out. Don't let any bitterness grow up in your heart against your mother. And by the way, fathers, you can do a good job of prompting or preparing your sons for marriage by prompting them to honor their mothers and by your example and your husbanding of your own wife. Secondly, protect your sisters. God has put you in the context of a family so that you will learn how to treat women. And the way you treat your sisters is a good training ground, much like a soldier might be training for a specific mission. You are in a training ground. And your sisters aren't the enemy. They're part of your mission objective. So respect your moms and protect your sisters. And thirdly, respect your sister's friends. The honoring of women in our society is something that is a crying need right now. And in the years to come, we're going to pay for the sins of making women objects. And you boys may not understand what that means right now, but someday you will. There is a general disrespect for women in general and a general treating of them as nothings or as purely objects. And you can learn in the training grounds right now that God has put you in of treating them as ladies, as treating them respectfully and respecting your sister's friends and women in general. And then finally, as I did last week, I addressed the young men. I'll say the same thing to you young ladies. Look for such men. Look for such men. There is an inner beauty which I encourage the young men to look for in women and to prepare for marriage by looking for this type of woman. There is an inner strength or an inner manliness that I would urge you, young women, to prepare your hearts for. To prepare your hearts for marriage by thinking on these things as being the grounds for marriage. And that also goes against the grain of our culture that says the basis of marriage is look appeal. And that's the only basis of marriage often. Instead, you will provide, both men and women, you will provide a good grounds for marriage if you'll take into consideration what the Bible says about the qualities of husbands and wife and train yourself to match that and to desire that in a spouse someday. Are there any questions about those two passages this week? And let's close in a word of prayer together. Father, thank you for the noble calling of calling to marriage that you give. And we pray for the husbands of this congregation that you would be helping each one of us to carry out this this great and noble calling, that we would love our wives as you have loved the church, to live with them with understanding, to nurture them and cause them to grow in their giftedness, in the exercise of what you have called our wives to be. I pray that we would nurture that as well in the young people of the congregation. And God, I pray that you would prepare them for marriage, that you would help them to set their hearts on the pursuit of holiness, the pursuit of godliness, and these fruits of the Spirit that you have given for both husbands and wives, that they would be nurturing these things in their own life as well as preparing their hearts to desire those things in the spouse that you would give. We pray that you would be establishing marriages that are a testimony of your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks, you're dismissed.